Hello, and welcome to Around and About Chattanooga. I'm Michael Edward Miller.
I'm Richard Winham.
Our show features the people, the personalities, and the cultural events that make Chattanooga such an interesting place to live. In our first segment today, we're going to hear about a new report on non-believers.
They're called the religious nun. That's nun as in N-O-N-E. They're the people who check none of the above on surveys about religion. The non-believers. Often they're lumped together under one label. But researchers at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga wondered if a one-size-fits-all label really describes non-believers in America.
The UTC researchers did an extensive study of non-belief, and they discovered that there are six basic types of atheists. Some of them are loud and proud political activists. Others are introspective intellectuals who love books and internet chat rooms. A few are just plain apathetic. And some atheists are so secretive, they're in the closet, literally.
I mean, one girl, we were doing an interview with her, and she was hiding in the closet so her parents wouldn't find her while we were interviewing her. We did it over Skype.
That's Dr. Christopher Silver. He was in charge of the research project. He and his team contacted more than 1,000 atheists around the United States and asked the atheists detailed questions. Some participated in live conversations like the girl in the closet.
Some of the questions were very open. It was just like, you know, tell me about your experience as a non-believer.
Others filled out a 300-item questionnaire online. These researchers found out that some atheists fit the, well, you might call it the Richard Dawkins stereotype. Dawkins is a confrontational, controversial scientist and author. He publicly debates theologians and believers. He urges non-believers to be active and come out of the closet.
What I want to urge upon you is militant atheism. I want to argue that rocking the boat may be just the right thing to do.
The researchers nicknamed this the angry, argumentative, dogmatic type.
My approach to attacking creationism is to attack religion as a whole.
Officially, the researchers called people in this category anti-theists. On the personality tests that were part of this study, the anti-theists scored high for narcissism and anger, and because they're so public and outspoken, they've become the stereotypical atheist. However, UTC student Thomas Coleman, who managed the project, says the stereotypical anti-theist is not the norm. The data collected from this nationwide survey shows that actually the anti-theist category is a very small part of atheism overall.
Guess what? It wasn't all of them. It certainly wasn't half. It was maybe 14%.
It turns out there isn't any one category that fits most atheists. The research says 37% are academic, intellectual types of atheists who enjoy reading books and educating themselves about science and philosophy. 4% are non-theists, meaning they're basically apathetic about all this. They don't spend a lot of time thinking about religion or their own lack of religion. 7% are agnostics. 23% are activists. And then an unexpected category emerged. They're called ritual atheists. They're atheists who go to church, even though they're non-believers. 12% of atheists fall into this category.
The ritual atheists have really caught everybody's attention, and they're like, whoa, these guys are in church, you know, or they're at the mosque or they're at the synagogue.
Again, here's UTC researcher Thomas Coleman.
I think on an intuitive level, people know that obviously there's probably some non-believers in church, but until you document it social scientifically, it doesn't, you know, it's important to do that. So it's not essentially we've stumbled onto something new. It is existing, and we were able to take a look at it.
Here's one example of a ritual atheist. R.D. Flowers lives in Chattanooga, and he goes to religious services. He says he's a Quaker pagan atheist, and he attends weekly Quaker meetings. He says he's accepted at these religious services.
Quakers are diverse these days.
Flowers appreciates the ethics and the morals of the Quaker tradition, so even though he doesn't believe in everything they believe, he goes to their meetings.
The community is part of it. I really value the people that are way intent on working on themselves and also caring for the world. And what some might call worship, I might call introspection.
Even when people stop believing in religion, they still want the community and the support network. They want the rituals and the sense of belonging. Dave Moscato says he can understand that. He's the PR director for American Atheists, a national group.
A lot of people, when they leave religion, when they stop believing it, they lose that. They lose that sense of weekly getting together with people. And atheist groups do exist for that same purpose, but they're not quite the same. They're harder to find just because there aren't as many of them as there are churches in the U.S. And some people like the music and so on.
I used to be, you know, out there too. You know, I used to be a worship leader myself.
This is Preston Paris. He grew up in Cleveland, Tennessee, in the Pentecostal church. Now he's an atheist, but he still goes to church.
You hear people talk about how they miss their faith, and I've heard the author Christopher Hitchens talk about how he doesn't understand that. Well, I do. I understand because I've had that faith.
Paris is a musician, and he plays in church bands sometimes during worship services. He also goes to church socially.
I play bass and guitar, and I play on worship teams.
And this is kind of like a job.
Yes, it is.
Would you still go even if you weren't being paid? Is it like you miss it enough that you would still go even though you don't believe anymore?
I've done many of them for free. You know, I mean, I enjoy playing music. Number one, I enjoy playing music with good musicians. And I've attended church when I'm not playing at the churches that I play at, and it's not since I've played at them, you know.
How do the pastors react? Do you tell them about this?
I have had the conversation with many of them that I've worked with, and usually they're very accepting once I've told them, you know, kind of where I've been and where I'm at. And that I don't feel like I've got it all figured out. I think they know that.
So in that way, Paris could be classified as a ritual atheist. However, he could also be an anti-theist. Sometimes he enjoys arguing and debating.
Now, here is where the complication begins. It depends on who it is. A few times I've taken it upon myself to confront someone from my past who had played a role in my development, so to speak. You know,
it really is complicated for you.
It's very complicated. Faith played an important role in my life, and the lack of faith still plays an important role in my life now.
Back at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga, Dr. Silver and Thomas Coleman say that the different categories they've discovered could be fluid. When someone starts out being an atheist, that person might fit into one category. But then, over time, they could change.
And so it could very well be that these types are transitional periods for people. In other words, meaning that you're not always going to be an anti-theist. You could, in fact, be a ritual atheist later in life. You could be an intellectual atheist rather than life.
More research is needed. Dr. Silver says a small but growing number of scholars are studying nonbelief now. Researchers could build on his work and find even more than six categories of atheists. Or researchers might find something that contradicts his discoveries. Either way, at least they've gotten a conversation started about this, and that was one of the reasons why they did this study in the first place. In Chattanooga, I'm Michael Edward Miller.